Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James with the rejection.
Who's going to guard Karl Malone? Barkley. They got Akeem on Antoine Carr.
Russell will inbound at half court.
Uh-oh.
Stockton, open three. Hit it! John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals.
There's one thing I want to say here tonight. It's only four words. This one's for John.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series! And the Cubs have finally won it all!
Welcome into Name Change Pending. This is going to be a fun little episode. This will be our first explicit episode. So I'm joined today, Brian Priest here, your host, joined today by Tommy Jerome.
Oh, hey, how's it going? It's Ruthless Lupe over here. You find me on Twitter, at Ruthless Lupe.
Bow.
R-U-T-H-L-E-S-S underscore Lupe.
Awesome. Bitchin', Tommy. Good work. Josh, you're here as well?
I'm also here, and I am also found at Rise and Shout at the Twitter, R-Y-S-E-N-S-H-O-U-T.
I'm the twatter.
Perfect. So we decided we wanted to go explicit on this episode because it's right around Festivus time of year, and we've got some grievances that we wanted to air. Tommy's going to start us off talking about Philip Rivers, the fearless quarterback of his Los Angeles, San Diego, Mexico, London Chargers. And then Josh is going to follow up talking about just a real intelligent decision by the BYU athletic department extending Kalani Sitake, because I don't think anybody's disappointed by his coaching efforts.
I will expand on that momentarily.
And then I'm going to follow up with why the Chicago Cubs are broke, according to Tom Ricketts. Bastards. All right, Tommy, start us off.
Oh, where do I begin with?
Interceptions is where you start and end.
Yeah, that's typical Philip Rivers. You know, I was going to try and write a little poem.
I
called it an ode to Rivers. Sweet Philip, another year without a home. As many touchdowns as interceptions thrown. And then I blanked because I just, it's basically a season right now. It's within the past, it's been 12 weeks. They've had a bye week 12. He had 7 interceptions going into week 10.
Okay. Not terrible.
Not terrible. Fucking doubles it in 2 weeks. Doubles it. The thing is it's typical Phil. Like, that's typical. But throwing 3 to 4 interceptions in one of them with probably one of the worst secondaries in the NFL in Kansas City, and you hear it in the broadcast, like, oh, the Chargers are really taking it to this Kansas City defense that's struggling. Leave it to Rivers to make those guys look like Pro Bowlers.
I understand. I can commiserate with you, Tommy, because the Broncos gave up 9 sacks to that defense. So, yeah, making these squads look real good. I'm kind of glad we're not going to Denver on Sunday.
Yeah.
Maybe they just get, like, really excited for in-division games.
You know, that must be what it is. Yeah.
It's like, hey, we're shitty, but we're not this shitty.
It's like an intertribal war because it's interdivision.
Right.
Chiefs get, like, I don't know, maybe that's over the top.
Yeah. They play harder when they're playing against the AFC West than they do everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like the AFC West can only really compete with the AFC West right now.
Like, yeah, there's not a good team in the division right now.
And on top, like, I don't know what he's doing. Is he putting too much pressure on himself in the final moments of the game? Could it be that it's the line's fault? But, I mean, a poor craftsman blames his tools, so it can't be the line.
That seals it. We're going explicit every week. Tommy is on point. Like,
and, I mean, or maybe it's the play calls. I mean, they fired the offensive coordinator, Ken Wisenhunt, and I don't know. They're still calling plays, and he's still throwing to the other team. So I don't know. But I think it's a combination of all of it. Plus, he's 37 years old, has 8 kids, so even going home is a pain
in
the ass.
He has 8 kids?
Eddie's got to go all the way to San Diego because he refused to move. he's got so many kids.
That's a good principled stance, though. They'll come back to San Diego, I'm sure, someday.
No. I don't think San Diego's interested.
Would San Diego take them back if they tried?
Nope.
Not anymore. Maybe they're like, we'll take you back, but leave Phil in L.A., please. Like, we can't anymore. But with eight mouths to feed, I bet he's just as stressed at home as he is on the field. I don't know.
They got plenty of good help in Southern California. You know he's doing okay with those kids.
Especially in San Diego.
Yeah. Consuela's really taking care of the children.
Oh, wow. What?
Why'd you make that about a Consuela person?
Because you said Southern California.
He meant because there's a large population in California. Easy
no,
to find
he
people
said
to
Southern.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I did. It's still a large population. It's okay. You're the Hispanic person on the panel. You can make that comment.
Thank you. Thank you. It's the end of the line for Rivers. I mean, the guy's... He's no Brett Favre. I don't think he's going to play into his 40s or Peyton Manning. He's definitely throwing like an old Peyton Manning. He can't throw the ball. I mean, I broke down essentially his last 7 interceptions in the past 2 weeks.
Did some film study, huh?
Yeah, and some of them, it's like, what are you going to do? You're hit as you're throwing the ball. It's going to bloop up and land in someone's hands. That's fair. Okay, you can't blame that. It's football. That happens.
Maybe show some ball security, but... What do I know?
Yeah, I mean, okay, fair. But, like, the first interception he threw against Oakland, no touch whatsoever. Allen was open within the zone of itself of, like, what the Raiders were running as a defense.
Uh-huh.
And he overthrows him, misses the whole zone where Allen is open, and the safety picks it off. That's interception one. Interception two, okay, the receiver trips. Maybe that's not on Rivers, but I feel like Rivers should see that on the field. Maybe doesn't throw it in that direction to that receiver. Instead, hits a Raider right in the chest. Interception two.
Well, you can also try throwing to open receivers instead of throwing to guys that are constantly double and triple teamed.
True.
That helps.
I mean, but sometimes those receivers make godly catches, and he's like, you know what? Go get it. But never throws it high enough for them to go get. I'll get to that in a minute. Technically, he threw 4 picks against the Raiders, but one was called back due to an offsides call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the third one, so I'm counting the third one as the one where it was a bad pass. It was behind the receiver, hits the receiver in the shoulder, gets up in the air, and then falls into, I think, Carl Joseph's hands.
Okay.
But luckily, it was called back due to an offsides. So, last drive, of course, the last drive of the game for the Chargers. First pass thrown in that last drive, throws it into double coverage, and somehow he goes from underthrowing it to then now overthrowing it, and boom, you get your third interception, week 10. So that was a pain. But as a Charger fan, you get used to that type of shit, you know? I definitely am.
Okay, now talk to me about the Chiefs game.
So the Chiefs game is, we come in firing hot. Rivers, first drive, I think we score. I'm not too sure. I was just looking for interceptions at this point. First one, he gets sacked, but they catch his elbow and the ball kind of falls into a lineman's hands. That was the first interceptions. I just kind of...
Shit happens.
What the fuck are you gonna do? You know, it's football. And then I swear it's like he has tunnel vision, and he sees someone open for maybe 2 to 3 seconds, and he throws it into double coverage somehow, and that's how he gets his second interception. It's like his eyes are just locked on the receiver. Safety's like, oh shit, he must be going there. Gets his second one.
Yep. Sounds like Phil.
And then Phillip Rivers hasn't been known to be to throw bombs. You know, he hasn't been known to just throw it 60 yards. But hey, he went for it against the Chiefs. His third interception, he fucking goes for it. He
Huck it, chuck it?
Yeah, huck it, chuck it, underthrown. And he underthrows it so bad. And, I mean, know your role, in a sense. Like, no, you can't bomb it like that. And even if... Okay, maybe if he's wide open, there's not anyone around within maybe like 10... Or not 10 yards, 5 yards. Let's say 5.
Okay.
But, like, for as long as the ball was in the air... And as little distance that it went, why would you throw that ball? There's like 2 Kansas City Chiefs like in the area. It's like playing a game of jackpot with Phillip Rivers. Like it's like mystery box, and it's the
400.
Chiefs. 400. Yeah, and the Chiefs always come down with it, or the defense does.
Was that the Daniel Sorensen interception?
No. We're still going to talk about that one.
Still early? Okay, go.
Yeah. That's the next one.
Yeah, that's nice. This one I think is I think the second one, the second interception's Matthew. I'm not sure who gets these last two, but the less than a minute left, I think we needed to tie the game.
It's down hard for 7, right?
Yeah, down 7, 24-17.
Were you in the red zone?
Remember.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds right.
After a long bomb to Mike Williams.
Oh, yeah.
That gives you hope.
Yeah. That's what even... to maybe a layman Chargers fan. Like, let's be honest. Like, yeah, that's... Oh, my gosh. They could do it. But as, like, a person myself who's followed them, you know, the past few years... Well, for a while. Not that I just followed him for the past few years. I don't want you to turn that against me, Josh. But, like, just what I've seen from Rivers lately, I was like, oh, God. Oh, man. We still have a lot to do before we score. And that's in the red zone. So to say we have a long way to go in the red zone is like, oh, man. And sure enough, he doesn't fail to disappoint me.
So, Tommy, I'll cut you off really quick. I was watching this game. I think the Jazz were playing that night, and the Jazz game had just ended, so I flipped it over to the Chargers game with, like, 3 minutes left. And I honestly, like, sat up, edge of my seat watching this game because I was just imagining what a ball of emotion you were watching this shit. I didn't see the Mike Williams pass, but I watched most of that last drive, and... Oh, the final interception. I was just hearing your voice in my head. I don't like it. I don't like it. Fucking Phillip Rivers. All right, finish this out. Let's hear it.
So it's honestly, there's seconds left on the clock. And we run a little, like a wheel route with Eckler. It's like a little wheel route. He goes straight. He's open for a little bit. And I mean, maybe if he gets a little bit more height on the ball, he scores. But he throws it, and it's like a loft. It doesn't look like he throws it pretty hard either, and it hits the corner right in the chest.
He's actually a safety.
Oh, even better.
His name's Daniel Sorensen. Do you know where he played college football?
I take it the Y.
Don't pretend like you didn't know that.
And I guess that's just insult to injury, but...
Fact.
Like, it was like... He was just like, here, I don't even want to win anymore. Just take it. I've already thrown 3. This game sucks. I just want to go home to my 8 kids and Gladys and have a steak.
I was telling Josh about the pick. That it was one of those fade routes in the corner of the end zone. One of those patterns that doesn't work anyway.
Right.
And it was a ball that had to be thrown over the top, and it hit the DB in the numbers. I'm not even sure if Sorensen jumped on that pass.
I think 1 foot was in the air. The other foot was making sure he was in bounds.
But hit him right in the numbers.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was great. Classic Phil.
And then even if you're going to run a fade route, maybe this is more or less on the Chargers, don't do it with your smallest receiver. You're throwing a fade to Austin Eckler that he might have to contest for a ball.
They don't have a big 6'5 wide receiver to throw that ball to.
I mean, maybe he hurt his back. I don't know.
Mike Williams, Mr. Glass.
And then what really kind of pisses me off about Phil is his press conferences. And if you go back and you just, it's the same shit every week in his press. We got to do better. we get in the red zone, we got to score. We got to get better. You know, we're going to go back. We're going to watch film. But, yeah, I got to make that play. No shit, Phil. You got to make the play. Like, come on. You've been doing this for how many years? God. I'm just exhausted, Phil. I'm exhausted. I'm sorry. You know, I looked at your stats, your career stats. Hell of a quarterback. I'm not taking that away from you. But hang it up, Chief. Hang it up. Enjoy retirement. Go golfing. Do something to get away from those damn kids. You don't have to play football anymore. Okay?
So that being said, do you think Phil Rivers is a Hall of Famer?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, for sure. At least Chargers Hall of Fame.
All right. 30 seconds. Wrap us up. Tell us how you really feel.
The most prestigious of all the Hall of Fames.
Phil, it's time to hang it up. And if you don't, I will not be watching the 2020 season.
I'm going to make sure and tag Phil in this whole podcast I post it on Twitter.
And if
I hope it gets to him.
Probably won't. He doesn't have time to listen to a podcast when he's out there figuring out ways to get the ball to the defense. He doesn't have time.
That's true. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. Tommy, thanks for the colorful description of your Los Angeles Chargers' lack of a quarterback in Phillip Rivers. We'll take this break. Thank you for listening to this episode of Name Change Pending. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending and subscribe to get the newest episodes of the podcast and to check out photos of hosts Josh Keel, Tommy Girone, and Brian Priest as we travel the continent to do what we love, watch sports. Also, I know you've got a lot going on today, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your busy schedule to give the podcast a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, we would greatly appreciate it. Those algorithms can be tricky, and all I know is that 5-star ratings jump us up the lists. So thanks for tuning in, and now back to the show. Welcome back to Name Change Pending. This is your host, Brian Priest, joined by Tommy Girone.
Hello.
Bow, 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 and Josh Keel.
Hello. I am also Rising Shout.
This is our Festivus airing of grievances episode, a little bit explicit over here.
Did you just say Arian?
Arian Foster, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You really hear what you want to hear, don't you, Tommy?
So I wanted to talk about, I don't think this is going to take very long. I wanted to air some grievances about the Chicago Cubs and their owners, the Ricketts family. So the Cubs, I think we can all agree, the Cubs have a lot of money, right? They play in Chicago. Isn't that one of the biggest cities in America?
Aren't they notorious for not even having to win and still being able to sell out their stadium every single day?
Called the lovable losers.
Exactly.
100%. So since 2015, the Cubs had made the playoffs every season until the 2019 season. All right. You're not going to make the playoffs every year. Sometimes that happens. Whatever. Not a big deal. I want to look at this current offseason so far and last offseason. Prior to that, the Cubs were willing to spend some money. They brought in Jason Hayward. At this point, questionable contract. He's played really good defense, but, you know, whatever. Yu Darvish signed a big deal a couple years ago. But last offseason, the Cubs' big acquisition in the offseason, can you guys name him? Can you guys name his position?
The largest acquisition?
His initials are double D. But it's not Stormy Daniels. Sorry.
Her initials aren't W. I know.
I'm just saying I was making a breast reference.
Oh, okay.
Boobs.
Low brow.
Eyebrows.
Danny Daniels, would that work?
Danny, that would work. That's that's her husband,
right? I
think
she's a porn star. I don't know.
Don't pretend you don't know.
Okay. guilty.
I have no idea. Who was the Cubs' largest acquisition?
No, don't.
17 home run hitter from the Arizona Diamondbacks, Daniel Descalso, signed to a 2-year, $5 million deal. And last offseason, the Cubs' front office, the Cubs' ownership, I don't blame the front office. The ownership just claimed poor all year. And I get if you're trying to get under the luxury tax, all right? You get penalized the longer you're in the luxury tax, and the Cubs have been in that for a couple seasons. Okay, fine. But if you're going to say, let's get out of the luxury tax, actually do it. Actually commit to it for 1 year, and then you restart that clock. No, the Cubs decided we're going to stay in the luxury tax, but we're not going to sign anybody of consequence. Mm-hmm. They did nothing for their bullpen in the offseason. Absolutely nothing. It was a dumpster fire to begin the year. They started the season 2-9 or something like that. We're able to fight back and end with a decent record. before injuries just dismantled the entire core of the team. Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Javier Baez, Baez missed the last like 2 weeks of the year. Chris Bryant missed the last week. Anthony Rizzo missed the last 8 to 10 games. It was just an absolute mess. But it was that bullpen that shit all over the team last season, and it fucking hated it. So I'm looking at this team. Besides Daniel Descalso, the Cubs have had a habit of trying to save money bringing in these Tommy John reclamation projects. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, they signed Drew Smyly. You know how many innings Drew Smyly pitched for the Cubs?
Two.
Zero. Not a single inning for the Chicago Cubs. He was traded to the Rangers last season. This previous offseason, they signed Kendall Graveman coming off of Tommy John surgery. You know how many innings he pitched for the Cubs?
Two.
Zero. He was released this offseason after the Cubs paid him all year to rehab, and then they said, oh, your $3 million option's not worth it. $3 million. Okay, to guys like us, yeah, that's a fair amount of cash, right? But to a professional baseball team, you can pay a starting pitcher $3 million. It's okay. Okay, they released him. Now, what have they done this offseason? The only move they've made so far? They acquired Jarrell Cotton from the Oakland Athletics coming off of Tommy John surgery. Fuck, man. It's so frustrating. Like, either take one season, commit to not necessarily a rebuild, but commit to getting under that salary tax, or just fucking play baseball. Damn it. I was looking at the average annual ticket prices for major league teams. Guess who has the most expensive average seats?
The Yankees.
Second.
The Yankees are second?
The
really?
Yankees are second Red Sox. At $121 a ticket on average.
Wow.
Red Sox.
It's obviously the Cubs.
The Red Sox are fifth, $94. The Chicago Cubs, $128 per ticket.
Is Wrigley smallish?
Wrigley seats up just about 40,000. 40 to 41.
That's a little bit small for a baseball stadium.
A little bit small, yeah. And you're definitely packed in there like sardines, especially if it's full. I've gone to Chicago for Cubs games the last 3 or 4 seasons, I believe it is. When Tora and I went to Chicago this last year, it was late September. The Cubs were more or less out of the playoff race, and they were playing a shit team, the Pittsburgh Pirates. They scored 31 runs in 2 games. That was a lot of fun to see. But we paid... Oh, God. For the bleachers, I think we paid $70, $75 a ticket, so about $150 for one game. And then we sat near the Cubs dugout a couple sections away, and those tickets were like $110 a piece. So obviously we're underneath this average $128.
Right.
But that $128 accounts for luxury boxes, accounts for, you know, the seats right behind home plate and shit. But
right.
We also went to a White Sox game when we were out there. Guess how much the White Sox game cost?
$8.
First row on the first baseline, 2 sections away from the dugout, $31 for 2 seats total.
Yeah, that's been my experience, like going to Padres games and stuff when I'm on vacation. Mm-hmm. We'll like pull up day of and be like, it's $7 for a upper deck seat. Yes, we'll take that. Thank you very much.
Let's just get in.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's just bullshit. Like, they're making money. You walk around anywhere, really. Like, you can't go a day without seeing somebody wearing Cubs gear. I'm sitting here doing the podcast wearing a Cubs hat and a Cubs hoodie.
Right.
There's Cubs fans all over the country. If you're in Chicago, I mean, Cubs fans everywhere. It's not like they're not selling merchandise. It's just bullshit. I don't understand what the hell this front office is trying. Not the front office. I don't understand what the Ricketts are trying to do. They're starting their own TV network this year that's going to bring in tens and hundreds of millions for the Cubs. They're not spending it on the fucking team.
It seems like this has been like a historically consistent issue for the Cubs. Like, they always have some ownership group that doesn't either want or need to spend money.
Okay, now let's not compare the Ricketts to the Tribune Company. We did get a World Series, and the Ricketts have spent money. They put $500 million into Wrigley Field.
All right.
But that just every year the Ricketts have owned the team, they've raised ticket prices. Yeah, they put in $500 million. They didn't take any tax income from the city. They paid for themselves, which is great. And that's something, I don't know, maybe if the Chargers have been willing to do that. Dean Spanos, you got him on the horn, Tommy? Talk about him. They could still be in San Diego. But I just don't fucking get it. I don't know what they're doing. Right now, their payroll sits at $185 million, and they don't have a roster filled out. They're going to have to bring guys in. They were the, I think they had the second highest payroll in baseball behind the Red Sox last year. And they just, you're going to have a payroll that high, put a competitive team on the field, or just admit, pull it back for a season, let's get under the luxury tax, reset that clock, and then go back at it. But now it's 2 years in a row. They're crying poor again this offseason, and it's just pissing me off.
Hypothesis. What if they spend a bunch of money and they won the World Series, but because Cubs fans will buy so much stuff and the Cubs are so popular, they didn't see the bump in revenue that they would have expected from putting a good product on the field. So they realize it's just as cost effective to not have a good team on the field only because they're the Cubs. Then they don't get a bump in merchandise by selling or by winning any games.
Nope. Not buying it. Nope. Bullshit. So you mentioned the lovable losers and how the Cubs can fill their park. It's kind of a misnomer. 40,000 seats, what they fill, even if they're bad, is the bleachers.
Yeah.
Because people just want to go and get drunk.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to watch a Cubs game from, you know, 1945, we'll say. They didn't play in a World Series again until 2016. So 1945 to 2016, yeah, just go get fucked up in the bleachers.
Right.
But the rest of the stand, they're not full. They're not selling out 40,000. They're getting 20 to 30,000, which is still decent. More than, I mean, you ever been to a Tampa Bay Rays game?
I don't think anyone's ever been to a Tampa Bay
Rays game. Exactly. When I went to that White Sox game, there was, I mean, it's not totally fair. It was White Sox Royals on a day game on a Thursday.
Yeah.
But there was 9,000 people.
Yeah. Well, I went to the Braves Nationals this year, and it was like right as the Nationals were pushing to get to try and catch the Braves, right? Like that game should have been a hotly contested battle. And it was hot. It was super hot. It was on a Sunday afternoon at like 1 o'clock. And so the full half of the stadium that was in the sun was empty. And everyone moved to sit in the one side, but everyone could fit on the shady side of the stadium, and no one was in the sun. It was completely empty because it was just so hot over there sitting in direct sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the middle of a playoff push.
So it's hot in Atlanta in September?
Yeah, it's seemingly yes.
It's where the players play?
Yeah, direct sunlight. And you know, point to pick with the ticket sale guy. I think he intentionally sold us the wrong side of the tickets because he told us he was selling us the shady side and then put us directly in the hottest sun part. Yeah,
I think you misread what he was saying. He was saying the shady side, like I'm fucking you over right now.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was exactly what he was doing. He's like, no, trust me, bro. This is the shadiest thing possible. And we were like, oh, there must be shade in that seat. Okay, thank you. And that's not what happened. But
innocent fans from Utah, yeah, go Cougars.
We got our BYU stuff on. We just beat Tennessee the day before, and he was like, okay, I know where I'm putting you. So, anywho, but what I'm saying is that baseball just doesn't fill its stadiums. They have gigantic stadiums strictly for the off chance they make the playoffs, and then other than that, it's just a big empty space to rattle around in.
True. I'm just going to wrap this up by saying, no, Josh, I'm not going to let you give the Ricketts an excuse. They have been shitty owners for the last two seasons, and I get the feeling they're much more concerned about profit than they are putting a good team on the field. And as a Jazz fan, when I look at the Millers, I feel like it's the opposite. And I even, until the last couple seasons with the Broncos, Pat Bowlen has been an incredible owner and much more concerned with winning than strictly profits. And now I'm watching, after years and years, my entire upbringing, when the Cubs are owned by the Tribune Company, and they just refuse to put any money into the goddamn franchise.
Right.
And now the Ricketts take over. They pour some money in to begin with, and now they're shitting on the team. And if they keep doing this, you're going to lose. Like, they've got two all-stars that they're looking to trade. Chris Bryant and Wilson Contreras both have controllable years left on their contracts, and they're in trade talks right now because they want to cut money. Like, do you want to fucking win baseball games?
But we could have all this money, Brian.
Come on, Brian. It's about money. It's a business.
Money makes the world go round.
Go Cubs, go.
Maybe they have a Coke problem and need more money for Coke.
Fair.
Still going to root for the team. I hope nobody has a Coke problem over there.
Hell of a drug, man.
Okay.
Anytime you feel bad about your owners, just think about the Knicks and you'll feel better.
Good point. James Dolan really sets the bar high.
He really does.
We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts, Brian Priest at BPriest24, Tommy Girone at Ruthless_Lupe, and Josh Keel at Rise and Shout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending.